I always like to play nothing but a good time. When we know we're going to have a good time, and we know we're going to have a good time because Greg Rilley with the Friendship APL is here in studio. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me in.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you in. And, you know, we always have a number of things to talk about. And, you know, we were talking off air about a wide variety of different topics. You were giving me some tips on how to handle my dog in the wintertime and how to burn his energy level so he's not going crazy at night. But, wow, you guys, it sounds like you guys have been very, very busy this time of the year. And it seems like when you get climates like this, it really dictates a lot of what you guys do. And it really kind of increases the volume of work for you guys.
Yeah, so our humane officers will be going out on the road from morning to night, actually checking on animals and that have been left outside or being kept outside. And one of the things that we see is that, like, this is really a it's an issue that affects a lot of people that oftentimes don't have a lot of wherewithal. That we see a lot of transplants, for example, that come up from the south, that come by a house up in Ohio. Maybe their job relocated, and you know, down south they may keep their dog out 24/7. It's warm down there, so bringing them up here, we have to go out and actually tell them, hey, you know, it's you're in Ohio now. Welcome to Ohio. It's 5 degrees here, and this is going to be an issue. And sometimes we have to educate people. We have a lot of people that move from the suburbs and buy that farmhouse that they always wanted, and they get farm animals and chickens and all those things. And it's popular now to have chickens that lay eggs and, you know, that kind of, you know, farm to table type thing that, you know, so many people talk about. And, you know, that's, you know, we have to go out and educate them on these conditions and the health of the animals and the well-being of the animals, on feeding them and doing these types of things, because those animals are very susceptible to the cold. So we want to always try to advise people. And a lot of our job is just education.
Sure, and I think that's fascinating, because I'm sure you guys do get a great deal of calls. And I think the first thing that comes to your mind is, you know, maybe somebody sees that a dog has been out in the backyard a little bit too long when it's 5-10 degrees outside. That's bad, bad news for all parties involved. But you guys, especially in this area, you deal with a number of different types of animals, which I think is fascinating, too, because I think people have some experience with dogs or cats. Those are your traditional household pets. But around here, I mean, you guys cover the entire county. You know, you get a lot of experiences in some areas where, you know, a lot of the common folks don't really get a chance to experience farm animals. But you were telling us a few moments ago about an experience you guys are dealing with right now that has to do with a bull, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, for example, that was a bull kept outside. And we have to sometimes learn what is appropriate and what's not. Does this particular location provide adequate housing for it? Does it provide adequate shelter? Does a bull need to be sheltered from these conditions, or is it capable of surviving? There's a lot of animals that don't necessarily feel, for example, wind chill. Doesn't affect certain animals, and we have to learn these things and learn what matters. So they, since they're built a different way, they don't experience that in the same way that we would, because we have no fur, not adequate fat to allow us to survive and hold off this weather. So like other animals store fat for winter conditions and to survive in these conditions. And we have to learn all this stuff. It's crazy because there's so much stuff I just didn't know, you know, and so you have to learn that as well.
Where do you find the information? You just Google it, or you call doctors, vets? Or
so, yeah, we will talk to vets. We can talk to like people at the Farm Bureau for Ohio. We will talk to other experts in the field. Other farmers. I have a farm girl on my staff, and she knows a lot about, for example, fowl. So she will explain us and walk us through how a chicken works. Because a chicken, if you feed a chicken the same amount of feed that you were feeding it in the summertime now, well, to keep warm, a chicken will actually consume more food right now, or needs to consume more food to hold off the weather. Because the way their body keeps itself heated is, you know, it consumes a lot of calories. So if you feed it the same time, you're actually, technically speaking, starving the chicken to death, because it will just starve to death. Even if you're feeding it and you feel like you're feeding it the same level you were feeding it before. Crazy stuff, and like things I didn't know.
That's so crazy.
That's interesting, because you mentioned a lot of what you guys do is educate, but it seems like, you know, for a lot of people, even for you guys, you know, it's an education process for you guys as well. And that leads me to my next question here, because it's an education for Matt and I. That's why we love having you in, because we learn a lot when you come on the show. So you mentioned that certain animals aren't necessarily affected by the wind chill. So what kinds of animals aren't affected by the wind chill?
Like, so one of the things I learned out by talking to people was there is a case of some longhorn steer, which are actually most people that are residents of Lorain County are aware of the steer that exist. And but what we found was that when I talked to experts on this, that they're not adversely affected by wind chill. So it was one of those things that I was kind of shocked at. Certain dogs are actually built to withstand it too. They have basically what's called a double layer coat, or they have a thick undercoat, and that thick undercoat actually holds off or resists wind chill. So that's what that thick undercoat is for. So when you look at things like Akitas or Siberian Huskies or Malamutes, they have a very thick undercoat, which drives people crazy in the springtime when all that fur comes out all in big giant clumps all over their house. But that is what that's there for. That's what allows them to be sled dogs in Alaska. So they have that thick undercoat. So that's one of the things that provides them that ability to do.
That's funny you said that. That's the first thing that popped in my head for some reason. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, sled dogs must have that. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Crazy.
So yeah, you'll see them, the big clumpy hair come out in spring, these big giant tufts of hair that you're just pulling out. And that's that thick undercoat.
So you got to have that undercoat to race in the Iditarod, right? That's how you survive that. That's how you survive
absolutely,
the Iditarod.
Yeah. That's a brutal race for both the humans and dogs. But yeah, that's a crazy thing.
No, it's wild. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Again, we're talking with Greg Willie of the Friendship APL. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, I wanted to throw the weather out there because I knew that would drastically increase the volume of work for you guys. Just how much has that increased for you guys over the last few weeks? You were telling me when you walked into the studio, you know, this made the holiday season crazy busy for you guys.
Absolutely. So we go from the average of like you know, maybe one or two calls a day, our volume will increase to, you know, 8 or 9 calls a day. And now for anybody that thinks, well, 8 or 9 calls, that's not that bad. 8 or 9 calls a day covering 495 square miles of Lorain County, when one's in the city of Lorain up against the lake, while another call is in LaGrange or, you know, at the far end of the spectrum is, you know, takes my staff, you know, an hour and 15 minutes to go from one call to the next. It's never easy. Unfortunately, it's not 5 calls just in the city of Elyria, you know, so most people don't put that into perspective. Lorain County's large county. It's got a very diverse population. It's got a lot of ground to cover. And like I said, it's a lot of different types of animals. I'm dealing with the little cat colony out in Avon, and then you're dealing with a steer in LaGrange. So you got to go and just switch gears almost entirely from one call to the next to a dog outside that's tethered outside in Elyria that we have to go and deal with.
Well, it's interesting how you go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I would imagine that's fascinating, too, because, as you mentioned, that's one of the cool parts about working in Lorain County. You get a little bit of everything. But to get back to something that you mentioned before, and I've always found this interesting, when it gets this cold, how it really kind of changes things. You mentioned 8 or 9 calls a day. Well, if you didn't hear the last time we had you out of the air, just to give you an idea as to kind of calls that Greg Willie and company will get, you know, you had to deal with a snake charmer before, having to come out and corral a snake. You get calls, too, about having to corral horses. So when you get 8 or 9 calls a day, sometimes a call could take you all day long.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you were just bringing up the goose. So,
the goose,
So yesterday we get a call in Amherst about a goose that had broke its wing and was out near a pond, and we needed to go out and do this. Now, I am not a wildlife person at all, and this is wildlife, but it's a protected species. So, you know, when we get the call and, you know, they ask us that this animal's in distress, you know, no animal deserves to suffer out in the cold and just freeze to death and not have adequate care. So, you know, you have to go out, and I spent, you know, 45 minutes chasing a goose up and down a driveway. And even though we had assistance, you know, its wing, it couldn't fly.
Uh-huh.
It couldn't fly, but it could walk. And they can walk really fast. And by the way, they're not crunching into snow. So, like, they're just stepping and walking right on top of the snow. And I'm sitting there sliding around looking like an idiot, just falling all over the place and falling up and down these little hills. And you know, and that's kind of the thing. And it took us forever to get that thing. And I'll tell you what, the ducks seemed to be doing a lot better than I felt when it was 9 degrees outside.
At the end, like, you needed some saving,
yeah,
huh? After that,
I'm like, I'm gonna need to be saved in a few minutes here. So, yeah, it's fun, it's interesting, and then, you know, we had to go over to the Nature and Wildlife Center, and they were really awesome and helped us take care of the goose from there, but they didn't have the manpower resources to send out a park ranger to go to Amherst, so we had to step in and intervene. You know, it's not something that we always want to do or get involved with wildlife, because, you know, we have enough responsibilities with just taking care of domestic animals, let alone wild animals, but in this particular instance, I was happy to help in that situation.
Where did that process, I'm curious, where did that, because reading in the Chronicle Telegram, it didn't dawn on me initially. You don't, I mean, wild animals you think are prepared for that, but obviously geese fly south. The rest of the geese had flown south, and with the injured wing, he couldn't. One of the residents witnessed that. Do they call you? Where's that process go?
So they called the Lake Erie Nature and Wildlife Center, who basically said, we don't have the rangers or the manpower to actually send somebody out to help that animal in distress. So Cindy, who works here, actually kind of reached out to me and said, hey, you want to go and chase down this goose? And I said, all right. So that's, I'm off. And then I go and get the goose. And, you know, and it was fun. You know, there are a lot of residents that were involved in this and helping and take care of it. And it's not my first time. I've gone and gotten other injured wildlife before. It's just not something, like I said, we don't really have the tools and equipment to do that. And you can feel very underprepared when you go out and deal with these when you don't have the tools or the knowledge. Sometimes you can do more harm than good if you don't know really what you're doing. But thankfully, I just actually had to wrangle a bunch of turkeys and ducks
so
recently, so I was feeling very comfortable at this very moment dealing with that. So
how did you get it eventually? Because I got this picture in my mind of you chasing this thing around like Rocky chasing the chicken. But see,
is that it?
That's you know, if I could actually talk at that moment, that's probably what I chase the chicken, Rocky, chase the chicken. You know, that's one of my favorite scenes. So that's I really probably had that exact mindset. The problem is really trying not to injure the animal more. So even it was almost identical to that scene. We eventually got it cornered. I had brought a large cage, and we were able to kind of get it cornered in a part of the house where we were able to kind of use some of the shrubs, and I had another guy that was helping me out there, and we eventually were able just to kind of usher it into the crate safely, because I didn't want to break the wing or hurt the animal any more than it was already in. So
what's the next step for it? Get rehab and then release back?
Yeah, they're going to work with it over there and see if it's something that actually can be fixed, and then they'll have to make a determination from there on whether it's an animal that, you know, the suffering is either too much or too great, or will it ever be able to fly again? And those are the decisions they'll have to make over there.
Gotcha.
That's got to be a gratifying resolution for you, though, too. You could just talk about that, because, I mean, it's hard work to get those things, but like you said, you're not just trying to put your hands around this thing and get it. You're trying to very safely and carefully get this thing into a cage, and you know that it's got a bad wing. So you're trying to very, very carefully make sure that this thing is set to a spot where you know they could significantly improve it or give them a chance of substantially improving this creature's chances of living a good life. So I'm sure to you that had to be especially gratifying, knowing how tough that was in order to corner it and get it in the cage.
That's what I like. About my particular aspect of the job is I like the things where, whether it be the alligator or the snakes or whatever. Typically when I'm getting involved, the resolutions already happen. So I'm just getting to take the hard work that my staff has done a lot of times, like with the example of the horses and trying to race and rescue these horses, another story I told you about. I'm getting to come in at to do the transport part, the rescue part, the part that matters, and I get that resolution, that great feeling of actually seeing an animal get to someplace safe, or get to someplace better, or get a chance to get saved or rescued, and I get that definitely that gratification, that instant gratification of seeing something, you know, through all the pain and suffering, I still get to see the end result. Like these animals are going from a bad place, and oftentimes I tell people all the time, you know, The sad thing is people are more likely to report animal abuse than child abuse. And a lot of times we're actually calling Child Protective Services and seeing that, you know, children are taken care of, because we will get the call about an animal in distress. And, you know, you're getting to see those types of things happen as well. So it's a lot of times there's a lot of gratification in what we do, and it's always different, and it's always wild, and it's always exciting, and that is part of the fun of it, actually, for me. I mean, so even though when you're kind of dealing with some of that suffering and some of that sadness, you're still also getting the joy, that a high of seeing something go from a bad place to a better place.
Greg Willie of the Friendship APL, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And one of the reasons we love having you on, you've got all these interesting stories, all these crazy stories. But that's got to be one of the cool parts about the job, too, because every day you come in, you never know what you're going to get. You can get a nice, easy, slow day, but not this time of year. It sounds like this time of year, those days are few and far between. But, you know, you just never know what you're going to get when you come into the office every day.
Oh, that's absolutely right. That's the fun. I mean, that is actually what keeps me going. Like, there's a part of our job that's the fundraising and development and doing those things to kind of keep the doors open. But, you know, it's the stories in between that make all make this all worthwhile. I tell people all the time, it's the rescuing of the animals. I need that visceral feeling of actually going out and doing the work and telling these stories and sharing them with people, because it's what I live for. And I do all that other stuff, all the business side stuff of the job, the nitty gritty stuff, to actually allow me to have those opportunities and experiences.
So of the times we've had you on the show, I think the first time we ever had you on, you told us about the alligator wrestling incident.
Yeah.
The next time we had you on, you told us about how you were up against the clock to rescue those horses. The last time we had you on, you were telling us the story about the snakes. And you didn't disappoint this time, my friend, telling us about the goose. So, yeah. I mean, the bar just continues to get raised every time we have you on this show.
I think that was the first time I didn't feel life-threatened. I didn't sustain some injury as a result of the actions I was taking. So there wasn't a lot of peril in that particular one. But, yeah, although I did have to walk on the ice, and the guy was very, very concerned about me walking on the ice in the pond. But I said, there's no way that this water is not frozen all the way through. I'm going to freeze. I have more danger of freezing myself than falling through this water or falling through this ice. So I guess maybe frostbite might have been.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, the degree of difficulty, though, really goes up. I mean, look, trying to catch a goose is a very difficult thing, especially, you know, when those things, they're not exactly acceptable to humans coming at them. I mean, they're just not used to that kind of interaction, too. So the level of difficulty goes way, way up. Now, you know,
the most dangerous is a horse. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, look, horses are beautiful animals. Yeah, horses are beautiful animals.
They're big.
But yeah, they're huge. And I mean, geez, oh man, I know people who have been kicked by horses. They've got those bruises still many years later. It can be a difficult thing to do.
They're the most dangerous. Those are the ones you have to be the most worried about or scared about if you're dealing with horses. And I tell people all the time, because everybody gets jealous about the horse thing. They love the horse thing. And I will tell you, hands down, 100%. They're the most dangerous animals at the same time. Beautiful and everything, but it is scary. It is really one of the more frightening things when you're dealing with when you're right up against them, or you're up against like a thoroughbred horse, like a giant thoroughbred horse, you realize the power that animal that they wanted to at any point could seriously harm you. So it can be really startling for a city boy like me. I feel more danger a lot of times around the horses than I did even around the alligator. So that's
they're big animals that can move, and they can get you both ends with the biting and the kicking.
Absolutely. I've heard a lot of horror stories about, you know, and enough to actually scare me. That may be the difference.
I'm with you.
No one's telling me every day about an alligator.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Not in Ohio, anyway. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I don't have someone telling me a story every day. Well, I get probably a story a week about some incident with a horse. So, yeah, that can be that. Those are the ones that scare me the most, even more than the goose.
I always thought the movie Animal Farm. If animals only knew what they were capable of, they could take over the farm anytime they wanted to. They're huge.
Absolutely. I love that. That's awesome.
Especially when you're talking about a horse, like you said, that's a big, strong, powerful animal. I mean, look, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, but you're right. If they're not familiar with you, too, that's the thing. if horses aren't necessarily familiar with you, they can be very, very tough to deal with. And in that particular instance, you know, you were up against the clock. And
yes, you're moving quick, and you're bound to make, and everything about what we do is trying not to make a mistake. You're trying not to do something wrong that can actually cause more harm than help. And, you know, that's the last thing you want to do is, and that's what you're dealing with the goose, is I don't want to do anything more to harm than this animal's already suffering. I mean, that's kind of the real risk of and reward of what we do, is trying to do it in a fashion that doesn't get us harmed and doesn't harm the animal anymore, and trying to find that balance, because, you know, I don't want to get hurt. Guy, that was like the worst thing. The reason for calling an expert on snakes is so you don't get bit. And I'm like, so that's kind of the funny thing about what we do, is just trying to do it as safely as possible.
Well, before we cut you loose, my friend, we've got to talk about Wags to Riches, Tom's Country Place, coming up next month. Tell us all about it.
So, yeah, February 10th, 6:30, Tom's Country Place. This is a great event. It's casino night. We usually have 60 to 70 great prizes. One of our board members is on the Cleveland Indian staff, so we get this really cool suite that they donate every year that you can win for 12 people to go up and enjoy the game, one of the games during the course of the year. It's a really great prize that we have available. We also have a trip to, like, anywhere in the world that one of my volunteers actually gets. You have to pay a little bit of a fee to actually exchange it to from whatever location that it is. But, like, I've seen people go to Hawaii on it and had a great time. It's really, really cool. It's a lot of fun, but in the end, it all benefits the animals. And last year, we raised about $90,000.
Wow.
So, and that helps us cover our medical expenses. So when you see our stories or you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, we're always constantly posting little stories about our animals and some of the animals that we have that are going through emergency care. Right now, I got three puppies over at an emergency clinic that are being treated for parvo. Yesterday, we had to have a dog that got hit by a car and had to have its leg amputated. All that costs money. You know, most of our veterinarians, though they're generous, are not donating their time or their services. So it all costs money. And everything that we raise through this helps us take care of animals in emergency situations and provide medical care for them that they need. And we can spend, and so for the leg amputation can cost us anywhere from $1,400 to $2,000. Treating these puppies with parvo is probably going to cost us about $1,500 a puppy. So that's $4,500. So you can see that's just in a one week period. So you can see that, like, that's $6,000. So you just imagine you times that by 52, and you're looking at, you know, sometimes we could spend upwards, you know, last year I think we spent about $150,000 just on emergency care and services. So, you know, this all helps us offset some of those costs. And so it's a really important event for us. We have a great band. We have Honey Creek coming out. They are blast. If you've never heard them before, I really recommend you go out and see them. If you don't see them here, go out and see them. They're awesome. And we just, it's just a really good evening and a lot of fun.
Those are some really awesome prizes, man. Mm-hmm. That sounds fantastic. Again, February 10th, Tom's Country Place. It is Wags to Riches.
That's correct.
Did you come up with that name?
Yes, we did. My wife and I did. It's a really clever thing. I don't think that we were the originators. It turned out, I think there was another group that had come up with that, but we came up with that name.
Nice. We'll give you credit for
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. I like that.
Awesome. Well, hey, Greg, always a pleasure to have you in studio, man. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we love being here. I love being here anytime.